Mad Tower Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Mad Tower Radio. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Christian. My name is Dan, and we've brought back a returning guest, Mr. Ryan Negron. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Yay. It's me, guys. Remember? My name's Ryan Negron. I'm here with the Mad Tower Boys. So blessed to be back on this amazing show. I was back on the Picatrix episode from a while back from the Melonheads of Cleveland. Are they living in Cleveland?
Yeah, they are the Melonheads of Cleveland, Ohio, or some shit. I don't remember. I was a solid like D to your cryptid.
But yeah, so I'm happy to be back. I run my own podcast called Weeboos. We're currently on a little hiatus while we all recharge for the holidays. We'll be back into that soon. But yeah, happy to be back here with the boys, talking about some more cryptids and scary things.
Absolutely. We tricked them into coming back.
Yeah, I thought I was about to run raids in Final Fantasy and hop on this call. And sure enough, we're recording.
We're like, yeah, we're recording.
It's actually live, so let's see what you got. But Dan has been tantalizing me all week, leading me by the nose with just a word. So I'm very eager to get into what Dan's got today.
This is a fucking good one. So I do this thing where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to talk about the good ones. I'm not going to talk about the heavy hitter cryptids. I'm going to look for like, hidden gems or
Melonheads,
like D tier or like the Melonheads and like. And I'm like, fuck it, dude. I'm like, I'm tired of doing these fucking boring ass, shitty ass cryptids. We're talking about the not deer.
No, I already don't like it.
The not deer. No, I actually hate it a lot.
Okay. Well, quite simply, it is not a deer. So some people describe this as a creature. Some people describe it as a phenomenon. It's not specific to any one location. Even though there are consistent reports in the Appalachian Mountains.
Fuck.
But there has been sightings as far as Texas and even fucking like Norway. Mm. Yeah. And the best way to simply describe this phenomenon is if you see a deer, which is a common animal across most of the world, and something about its appearance is off or weird, and it's usually takes the form of like inconsistencies in its physical features. So things like forward facing eyes.
I don't like that.
Things like an elongated mouth, kind of like a dog.
Ooh, I'm getting a little nervous.
I'm getting like Skinwalker vibes from this.
Yeah.
Odd looking antlers, a misshapen head or body.
Stop. You'll summon it.
You're looking like
claws,
a
claws instead of hooves. Some people even reported seeing hands instead of hooves.
Bro, I mean,
that reminds you of that Courage the Cowardly Dog episode where the deer pulls off its hooves and he has like little hands.
Oh, the Adventure Time one too, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And more extreme versions will have the deer standing on its hind legs.
Ugh.
And it'll only go back to being on all fours once it notices it's being observed.
Yeah, clearly. You gotta incognito it out. Like, yeah. Like a skin man or a thin man.
Yeah, and so even worse is that apparently in the stories, these deer aren't afraid of humans and will make, like, some kind of strange clicking sound and make, like, jerking motions.
No way. Anything that's jerking motion, I can't do. I cannot do that.
The twitch is what gets you?
Yeah, remember the thing when I went to go see Mama in theaters?
Uh-huh.
That girl? Are you dumb? Yeah.
Are you dumb?
I remember this story. Yeah.
I hate that.
So people throw away the claim about like the jerking motions and blame that on chronic wasting disease, if you know what that is.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty much like mad cow disease for the deer, where it just, I don't know, contracts the death.
It's like a cranial thing, I think, where like the brain starts to rot.
It can actually turn them into like fucking like zombies.
Yeah, essentially that's what I saw when I was in college. I was driving to go house it for a teacher.
Oh god.
And I was with my girlfriend, and then like we looked out the side of the window, and there was just like a deer standing on the side. It's like its eyes were like in different directions. Its tongue was just hanging out. It was drooling. And we had called my professor about it, and she called the park ranger. They went and they shot it, and it was like a young deer that had chronic wasting disease.
Wait, is that the house? You know that one house?
Yeah, it's that house.
Oh no, dude. It has the most haunted back porch into the woods. You just like look out into the darkness. Fuck that.
Yeah, just like, oh look, Satan lives in
there. Out there in the dark.
In the all dark, yeah. Terrifying stuff. But that's where we saw it, so I was like, yeah, either this is like a deer or it's a clearly not deer. So
yeah. Have you guys ever had like a deer encounter?
Let me tell you something.
Deer moment.
I did have a deer moment. And not like the not deer. I feel like this story kind of coincides more with like what you'd hear with like an evil spirit or like a skinwalker, but I'm not in Navajo country, so when it happened, but again, I was in the area where I went to college, and we'd moved into this new house. And the first night, I had this horrible night. The way I oriented my bed was right by the window, which was like stupid to begin with.
Rookie mistake.
I know, right? Like, you know, your head's closed, anything could pull you out that window, or someone could open it and kiss you on the mouth while you're sleeping.
Exactly.
So it's like a plus or a not. Why would you post that?
The standard.
Oh, yeah, I'm just. Just so reference images for when Christian's editing the video.
I looked at it and it messed me up. but still, like, so the first time I moved in, I fell asleep and I had this nightmare that I looked out and I saw this deer that was just standing out in the back, because we had like a back like yard kind of area, and it just looked like really off, and like its mouth was hanging open and its eyes looked like human eyes. It looked like it had human teeth and it just was like staring at me, and I just like, what the fuck? And so then I like woke up. I was like, whoa. I looked out the window, and then the deer was at the window, and then it like morphed into a man standing like all in black. And then I like actually woke up. I was like, oh my god. And so I have an issue with like shadow looking people. Like if you listen to one of the other episodes, like I had an issue where like when I was growing up, I'd see like this man in like a black suit. Not a black man, not like, you know, like melanin black. Like he was like just all black, like no feature.
Yeah, like
a shadow person. So that was that. So a couple months go by, and I'm telling my roommates about it, and I was like, yeah, I had this wacky dream. There was this deer, and then my friend stopped me, and she's like, and the deer had like human features, and then it turned into a man, right?
No.
And I just looked at her, and I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I had that dream, and Aiden had that dream, and she's into like Wiccan and stuff like that, and she did like this thing. She like got these rocks or these gems, and she had placed them around the room, and it stopped. She gave one to me, and I put it there that night, and I didn't have any type of, like, because I was always uneasy when I was by myself in that room. And after I put that rock there, kind of like went away. So I don't know if she like charged it with some Wiccan earth energy, but the three of us all had the same dream with the same guy and the same deer and standing in the exact same spot in the backyard.
Yeah, that always freaks me out, as people having like the same kind of dream.
Yeah, it's like something's like, I don't know, like. Yeah, like when you're dealing with like spirits or entities, they're like location bound. It's like, what happened there? You know, like I know we had joked about it before. It's like, oh, Native American burial ground, but like, what happened there? Something is left enough of like a spectral imprint, I guess, that three people on separate occasions all dreamt the same dream. That's buggy.
That's too much. No, sir.
Yeah,
that's
a little fucked up.
Yeah, but that's my certified deer moment.
Christian?
I mean, being a rural fella, you happen to drive down the road and, you know, see half a deer here, half a deer there. It's no big deal.
Yeah. But have you ever had anything that was
better
than that, maybe?
I've never been in, you know, too close proximity to any kind of large deer. I'm actually, like, scared of, like, horses and deers.
Makes sense. Yeah. That's a wise fear to have.
They're too big. I don't like it.
They'll mess you up.
Mm-mm. No,
deer will fuck you up. Pretty much, I hit a deer. That's my deer moment.
You creamed one?
Oh, yeah. I got his ass.
Did you see it coming? Like, did you brace for impact, or was it like a jump out in the middle of the road type deer?
It jumped out in the middle of the road. I mean, I could have slowed down probably a little bit, but I was told that slowing down is like the worst thing you can do.
I was going to ask you, yeah. Did you hit the gas?
I didn't speed up, I
thought you were supposed to put the foot down and like obliterate it, because if you slow down, it'll obliterate you.
I mean, yeah. I didn't slow down. I kept my same speed. I wasn't going to like Baja this fucking deer.
No, ULB3 it when you Baja see it on the road.
Deer. Baja blast the deer.
Yeah, but I smoked them.
But it's also like, I feel like it's more dangerous if you try and break. Like if you're like, you know, you could spin out too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I was like, on like a deserted ass fucking road.
Yeah,
you did that goes through the middle of nowhere. And like, it was funny as fuck because only hit like it was getting out of the way. And I hit its ass, and I guess I hit it so hard that, like, it spun, and then its ass hit my fucking driver's door.
No,
because of, like, how hard it spun. Like a 360? Yeah.
Like spun around.
Fuck that.
And it, like, I guess it, I don't know. I think it, like, shit on the side of my car. I got home, I fucking called the conservation officers, and I was like, hey, there's a fucking deer out there, and you better fucking make sure it's dead, or else I'm going to go back and finish it.
They're pretty hardy, though. That's why you got to, like, you don't want them living in pain, you know? Like, call them out, go put them out of their misery.
I don't care about the deer's pain and misery, dude. I was pissed that I fucking hit him. I was inconvenienced.
I'm a big animal baby, so whenever I see animals hurt, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
There's been some close encounters. Definitely, they've skid across the street. Like,
oh, yeah.
But I've never made contact, thankfully.
Yeah. Ever since that day, I am like, I grit my teeth whenever I'm like on a country road, and I'm like, don't fucking make me do it, dude.
No, you put a pistol in the glove compartment. If you see a deer on the side, you open down the window and give him one too.
No, yep, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I actually cover my car in coyote pee.
Sure.
So it wards the deer off.
I mean, and me like, too.
My mother is taken to making homemade deer jerky, so at least I benefit from their death now. The bastards.
So you're talking like you get some roadkill, do you like just bring that sumbitch home, be like, Ma, we're having some deer jerky tonight, I'm guessing.
Unfortunately, I mean, not unfortunately too much, but my family's pretty hunty, like more hunty than I think most.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got like grandfathers with deers all up on their walls and shit, and one of the uncles, big up in the trees, blasting the woodland creatures type.
Oh, my goodness.
So you get yourself a blimmer, man.
Like, if he sees the Glimmer Man, bro, he'll put 1-2 in him too. That man don't care.
You're killing cryptids.
But I'm feasting on the deer jerky. It's really good.
Yeah, venison.
The first time I had deer was at Arby's.
Huh? Like it was on the menu?
Yeah, they had venison sliders for a bit at the Arby's where I went to school.
I would not eat Arby's venison.
I did, bro. I and that's how freaking not deer are made. Someone eats some crappy venison, they turn into
you
the
become
not deer.
One.
You turn into the not deer.
Yeah, dude.
But I want to hear more about this not deer, bro.
Yeah, what's up with him?
A lot of people say that like the jerking motions and the odd behavior could be explained away by chronic wasting disease. Okay, but explain everything else. So. Everybody really wants to jump on skinwalkers, wendigos, stuff like that. But personally, me, I don't think that's it, right? Because why would a skinwalker or a wendigo, an evil like forest spirit, why would it have any trouble perfectly impersonating a deer?
Yeah. And don't skinwalkers usually mimic deer and dogs, right? Like they're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought the point was, you know, they had an affinity for it. They weren't shitty actors.
Yeah. So then if you buy that, then what is trying to impersonate this deer? You know?
Yeah.
Is it mutations? Is it a shitty shapeshifter? Part of me kind of wants to gravitate to aliens, but might be a little far fetched. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, me personally, I'm very into the Lovecraftian side of things. So like, when I think of aliens, I don't think like, you know, like grays aren't the first thing that come to my mind. Orbited. Yeah, like I'm thinking like, you know, Shub-Niggurath, like, or gotcha. Shuggoths, like things that can mutate and change how they look. And so like, I wouldn't be like, if aliens are real, I wouldn't like, it wouldn't blow my mind that like they were trying to poorly
imitate something like that, for sure.
Yeah, because if you're looking at it, if you're looking at like, let's say like there is an invader or an extraterrestrial, they're going to see what are some of the more populated species, and humans are everywhere. So it makes sense if they're trying to copy a, like, and a deer is like kind of inconspicuous. So they're going to get different traits from the things that they see. So humans, what do we have? We have forward facing eyes because we're predators, bro. Top of the
food chain.
But then, you know, I don't know, like it could be aliens. I could see it like that, or like some malignant other, you know, like I'm always a big fan of like, it's not a demon. It's not a spirit. It's not an alien. It's just some malignant other thing that like just isn't
right. Sure.
Doesn't fit in our reality kind of deal.
Have you seen like deer under enough stress and like with their survival instincts intact, bro? They'll like eat squirrels.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Maybe it's just a deer that just wanted some. So went a little too crazy.
Yeah, maybe it's not anything. It's just like the evil deer.
It's just a straight up like malignant deer.
Some people are assholes. I bet you some deer are assholes.
I could see it.
I'd buy it.
I've seen deer attack people.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, like they got too close to like a calf that was like somewhere, or a fawn that was somewhere like in the underbrush, and like mama rolled up. She's like, nah, this ain't it. And, like,
yeah, it ain't those cute tourism deer in Nara, Japan that bow to you. No, these dudes will like roll up.
Like stand on their hind legs and box you.
Yeah.
I've seen that video.
They just stand up because, hey, what's up? And then you're just.
Yeah.
That's too much. That's too much for me.
Well, I think deer are fucking creepy enough on their own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the chronic wasting disease, they can like be zombies to a degree. I don't know. Just something about their like fucking dead eyes and like the way they just like stare at you, you know?
Have you ever had, not specifically with a deer maybe, but with a wild animal, like a maybe like a weird moment of recognition, like if your eyes met with a beast before?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Oh yeah, I don't know if this was like a deep looking into each other's eyes moment, but I got charged by a fucking wild boar.
Oh shit, in Louisiana.
You're like, you're a caveman, bro.
Yeah, I felt like a fucking caveman.
Flashbacks to hunting mammoths. Your DNA activated and you fought.
Yeah, and I know fucking Tib, good friend of the show, I know he's sitting on his fucking couch right now, laughing his ass off, and he's gonna fucking call me and be like, bro, that thing did not charge you. Yeah, you were in the fucking back of the group, Tib. You didn't see shit. Shut up. Okay, I was the one up there looking face to face with the fucking Reaper in the form of a wild boar, and you were just back there fucking chain smoking Marlboro Smooths,
bro. I got them American spirits, man. Unfiltered. I want to go straight to my lungs.
Raw.
Yeah. But that was pretty much like the only wild encounter I had, I guess.
Okay.
When I was hiking, when I was post college. Man, when I was hiking. Nah, bro, I don't even hunt, bro. I mean, I do. I pull up in the forest at a M70 grenade launcher and I hunt deer with it. just obliterate.
I don't not deer with it.
I don't have to not deer with the freaking using sable rounds that they used to kill Transformers. That's a not deer. Just hits a regular deer and it turns it to paste. I was hiking and I'd gone off for like a nighttime hike, which is stupid.
Very stupid.
I did see a coyote out there, and like again, like with Dan, it wasn't like a hunter looking at prey in the way you think, but that coyote like looked at me and the coyote knew I'm staring at an apex predator because I had taken my shirt off.
This dude's got a max bench I don't want to fuck with.
Yeah, I was like smearing mud on my face. I was preparing to go hunt not deer by hand. No, but like I think for me that was like it was down. So I was like on a higher outcropping and I looked down and it was like a ways away. Like it looked up and like looked at me and then it just walked away. Because like, I mean, I clearly had better things to do than like fuck around with some pasty white boy.
What else is it going to do?
Both of your experiences seemed a lot more in control than mine. Like,
what was yours?
Rod, what happened to you?
You got attacked by a great white shark.
That'll never happen. You'll never find me out there. there's, in my experience with, let's say, advanced level animals, I'm usually like the prey in that situation.
Advanced level animal.
Yeah, high tier beasts. I would say
I was the prey in my situation. That thing was like, get the fuck out of here. Watch this shit. Well, like it was running at me.
I mean, you at least were squared off in the arena with the thing, saw it coming. When I
Did it catch you taking a shit or something?
Tail. Oh, we were just walking through the woods and ran.
No, I'm talking about
me.
Christian, the way Bormal. That he says it.
The two summers I spent in the Appalachian Mountains
were
very enlightening to me, but also I was not the top of the food chain, and you would occasionally get texts that was like, the cats are out, so go home. Don't go outside. The cats are out, and you'd hear them scream, and they scream like humans.
Oh, the mountain lions.
Yeah, they have a...
It sounds like a I heard one in Giant City, Southern Illinois, and it sounded like a woman was being attacked. And my friend Ellen was like, don't open the door. She's like, it's a mountain lion in heat. And I was like,
he's trying to trick you to come outside and kill you.
Trying to fuck,
or like,
he's trying to fuck
the various bear moments that you would encounter. Like, you'd come out of your cabin and you'd see all the trash cans pulled over and I'm like, little raccoons, and they're like, no sir, that's the black bear.
I've had a raccoon moment, but that doesn't count as like not high tier beast.
They're pretty sneaky.
There was just something about like walking up the trail at night and you hear that screech, and it was close enough for like some unga bunga instincts turned on in me. I was like, I gotta go. So, like, especially the clicking you described in the not deer it really kind of like tickled me in a bad way.
Yeah. It seems like this whole thing's tickling you in a bad way.
Yeah. Some bad things happen in those mountains.
The Appalachians are like, that mountain range is so ancient as well. Like, who knows what's there? There's actually a podcast out there called Old Gods of Appalachia. Have you heard it?
I listened to the first couple recently, yeah.
It's really good. They fuse Lovecraft and Appalachia really well. Appalachia. But it fuses it really well. But I, even prior to listening to that series, I would always like hear stories and things like that. Like, apparently out in Appalachia, there's these things called just wild men. Like, they're guys that people have just gone totally off the grid, and they are born and raised for generations just with no human contact in the wild.
Yeah, it's called Dan's family tree.
Shit.
He's trying to start
I'm going to be. We're going to be living off of rainwater.
Living off the fat of the land.
In water and not deer.
Nah.
My man. That's that's how you really live it up.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when my wife leaves me, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to further the lineage.
That's where the not deer come from.
Yeah, dude.
It's like a mermaid.
You're gonna have to become the not deer.
You're gonna be the not Dan.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would love to live off the grid anywhere except the Appalachian Mountains.
Because who knows what the hell's up there? Even yeah, there's like some pretty freaky areas out in the States. Like, ugh, no. Like Mothman up there?
West Virginia.
I get a lot of my cryptid encounters from like not encounters, but like not knowledge either, but like some of the more prominent ones I get from Fallout 76 because they're like enemies you fight.
Oh yeah, they like, added the Mothman.
Mothman. No, he's been in there. He's huge. It, like they just had a new deal, a new not DLC, but like a new content drop that's solely on the Mothman cult.
Forget that.
Yeah.
And there's. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that about as far as you could throw a football across the Ohio-West Virginia border, that's about how fucking far in West Virginia Point Pleasant actually is. So it's barely in the Appalachian Mountains.
But who knows? Yeah. Something under there. Something is like, there's like vibranium under there that just brings out.
Wakes him up.
Yeah, it just wakes up the creatures, bro, the primordials.
Yes.
You had said that it was spotted in like Norway or something? They got healthcare over there. They got education over there. I trust their sightings a lot more. They can afford glasses.
Their people are a lot more stable than ours over
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
They also have more like deer bait cryptid over there. Like dudes be wearing antlers all.
You're right. The antler men.
They wear a lot of antlers over there. A lot of, you know, like the ritual.
Yeah. That kind of also lends credence to your idea of, like, extraterrestrial in the way of, like, how would they get from here all the way over there? Unless sure. unless there's the horrifying thought that a not deer can also turn into a not human and hop on a boat and get across the ocean.
Or, like, a not salmon and swim across. Yeah,
just a salmon with feet just running across the bottom of the ocean floor.
No, sir. No.
I don't know. I mean, you could definitely go the route of this is not supernatural at all with, like, I don't know, maybe we should look at a map, like a sighting map of not deer and then, like, a map of toxic runoff near where deer live, you know, and maybe things might add up.
It could be a piece we're missing or, like, what do rabies symptoms manifest like in a deer?
I don't know. We should ask Zach.
Or like, what forms of rabies? Like, could one have been like an invasive species from Norway, or like a European strain that kind of got over here that does that?
Yeah, it could be some completely new disease that we don't even know about. Yeah, and COVID-20. I mean,
the brave worms. Yeah,
people could just see these things and be like, "Oh my God, the deer had like an elongated mouth like a dog," and like. If you actually got that deer on like an operating table, it would just be like fucked up and
like
it's got
tumors
like,
or something.
Yeah, just like misshapen.
Oh yeah.
Or something fucking crazy. Or
like, Dan hit it with his car.
I fucking smoked his ass.
Like, have you seen animals that have had cancer? Like their bone structures get really weird.
No. Let me image search a deer with cancer.
It like warps it.
Yeah, like their skeletons get kind of bulgy in places.
Oh, whoa. This thing has like tumors all over the place.
Yeah.
That's gross.
So maybe, you know, as our environment crumbles around us, maybe more cryptids are going to come out of the woods that we made.
Sure.
And wouldn't man-made we, monsters. Yeah, wouldn't we deserve it?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, the not deer, man. That's really all I got. I mean, yeah, there's not a lot of information on it or stuff like that, but this one is really, really creepy.
It's evocative, yeah.
Because, you know, we see deer everywhere. Deer get, like, fucked up diseases all the time. Have you seen the one of the deer growing hair on its eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, fucked up. You know, I do want to cap this one off
Sure.
With a sighting.
Ooh. Mm,
tell us.
Yeah, a little story for y'all. This comes from the Phantoms and Monsters Forum, which I frequently visit to find my creature encounters. And this one is dated September 9th, 2021.
Stop, bro.
Title is Majestic Not Deer Encountered in Goose Creek, South Carolina. A 13-year-old Goose Creek, South Carolina resident recalls his extreme encounter with a not deer entity, majestic and powerful, but not a normal deer. Now, just to clarify, this is worded a little weird. He's not 13 years old. He was 13 at the time of this story.
And he is from North Carolina, so.
Yeah. I only ran into the not deer once. And that was about a mile away from my own house on a gravel road that cut through some forests, fields, and goes right near Goose Creek, South Carolina. I couldn't have been more than 13 at the time. I walked the forests and deer paths all the time and had encountered everything from a swarm of bats to an angry fox and even some drunk guys pissing on it. Never felt threatened before. It was strange because at first, I felt what everyone else was describing, despite being somewhere I usually consider to be more my home than my own bedroom. The moon was high in the sky, swollen with clearly see the forest around me, but the despising, spite-filled, watchful presence came from everywhere at once. I was on edge and only had a small knife with me, but I took it out anyway. My entire soul was screaming that someone, not something, was there and they intended to hurt me. I wanted to run as fast as I could back to my house, but something stopped me from walking further or just sprinting off. From the sense that past a point in the trees, I would survive. From that exact point on the trail, the not deer slinked out from between a cluster of trees that should have been too close together for them to go through. What was to me was it felt like it was part of the forest itself, and it had giant branching antlers, the kind you never see in real life, get broken during mating season, or the bucks get shot during hunting season. They seemed more like crowns or swords than anything else, and these monstrous antlers were getting bigger because this deer-like creature that in no way resembled a deer was shambling towards me. It was huge and majestic, similar to an animated drawing. My first instinct was to fight it. I was already palming my knife despite having a visceral vision of exactly how the fight would end up, with me wishing I was dead. I was ready to die in that moment and hopefully take whatever this thing was with me, but something stopped me. I have no idea what it was exactly, but something reminded me of all my other experiences in these same woods and how every other time I wrapped myself in it. That no matter what strange thing had happened before, I had accepted it, and it, in turn, had tolerated me even if it couldn't accept me, and that's what I did. I mentioned earlier that the not deer felt like part of the forest, enraged and vicious, but still familiar. So I let it wrap around. It was an insane experience, and to this day, I don't think I felt the kind of purity of hatred that I did in that moment ever again. It was like someone had hijacked my emotions and just turned spite, disgust, hate, and rage up to 100, and everything else down to 0, but only for a split second. The moment I felt that swell of emotion start to ebb, the not deer stopped coming towards me. We just looked at each other while I struggled to breathe after having every negative feeling shoved through me, and they left. Just hopped away into the trees and bushes and left me to continue my walk home. I did go out at night on the very same trail, and just walked through the forest many nights after that, but that was the only time I ever saw the deer. But it wasn't the last time I felt their eyes on me, watching to see what I am, what I'm worth, if I've changed enough that I'm no longer worthy of the life they let me keep. I used to be of the forest, and I think that kept me safe. But I've been living in city apartments for over 5 years now. If I go back, I doubt I would walk those paths alone at night again. And that's it.
It's like almost poetic. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, it's weird. This definitely has a forest spirit kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Princess Mononoke kind of deal.
I thought that the part about him feeling like like, I don't know, he was just like opened himself up to it, and I guess opening himself up to the not deer like made him feel hatred and rage for some reason.
Yeah, like you got mind melded by the forest demon, and look what it got you.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. I also thought the part where he said that he felt like it was judging him, you know? It was like you're a forest guy. You can live.
You city slicker living in an apartment, but you get to live.
Oh yeah, yeah. I thought that was cool.
It almost kind of made me think like maybe he wasn't experiencing the hate. Like just like a thought, like he wasn't experiencing the hate that the not deer had. It's almost like maybe it was like reflected because humans are so hateful and spiteful.
Sure, you know? Maybe.
So it's like maybe like it blasted back and like he was getting kind of like a feedback loop from what this, if we're looking at the more benevolent forest spirit kind of a thing.
Oh no, it's on site with the not deer.
Well, I mean, how many people? I mean, it didn't kill him, and then just because he decided to like go hiking a couple times.
He was talking like he was gonna do something. He said he gripped the knife.
Yeah, that, I don't know what he thought he was talking about.
Nothing a lot.
That's just nothing more than city slicker to me. Oh yeah, I grabbed my knife first. Gonna do something? You're fighting God.
Not deer's gonna fuck you up.
You're not beating this dude with your like home hardware pocket knife.
But maybe that's what did it, is that like the not deer was like, oh. So you would fight.
He's respected as machismo.
Clearly the not deer
looks directly at him. He's like, 13 years from now, return to this spot and we'll have our battle.
It's like, I don't think I'll do that. I think I'm going to move to the center of New York.
I think
City.
I'm not going
to
do that.
It's like, I found this deer demon spirit creature in the middle of the woods, and then I was so much of an alpha, he just walked away. He didn't want it.
I radiated Sigma energy and the deer demon left.
I mean, it definitely had a little bit of that vibe where he was like, you know, I'm at least taking this thing down with me. No, you're not, man. That thing is going to gore you with one swoop.
Even if it wasn't like a not deer and just a, like a male buck, that would have still fucked him
no
up.
No chance,
like,
yeah.
You're still going to leave boy dead or maimed from that.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's probably what just happened, is he was a 13-year-old kid that had a deer walk up on him and he had a fantastical experience with it. But still, a very cool story nonetheless.
Yeah,
for sure. And that's pretty much going to cap it off for the not deer. That's what I got for you. What'd you think?
I like it. I like that a lot.
It's a good one.
I thought it was interesting.
Kind of reminds me of, I was reading like people like recounting stories of stuff like that. And this guy was like, I remember when I was a kid, I had some friends come over. My grandpa lived in the woods and like, at one point we went outside and there was a deer out there and something about it just didn't look right. Like it looked like something was hiding behind the guise of a deer. And then like, he's like, he noticed that there was always a tree wherever this deer was. And like, it was in the woods. So I was like, it's not too weird, but something about the tree was off. And then they like tried running back to the house and they felt like it was chasing them. When they turned around, there was just a random tree that was all like twisted and misshapen standing in the middle of like an empty field. And the deer was just standing there looking at them.
Oh,
so literally, yes, like literally something was hiding behind the deer and kind of sucked at it. It kind of makes you think of like the shitty shapeshifter. It's like, yeah, they'll never guess it's me behind this deer. Big old alien tree chasing after them. Some Hellstar Ramina stuff right there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I liked it though.
Well, Ryan, the floor is yours then.
Absolutely.
You know, okay. So I have a fun little one that I had been looking at preparing for this. So essentially this comes from our friends across the pond, mainly the UK. And essentially the cryptids...
Oh, those aren't my friends.
Dang, colonizers, bro. I'm no friend of Europe. What's it called? Essentially this entity called the Lantern Man. And he's spotted really in like the fens. You guys know what the fens are? I've heard of the fens. It's like a marshy area.
I've heard of it, but I couldn't point to it on a map.
Yeah. It's just like... I think it's like an eastern part of like the UK, and it's a much more rugged and wild area. That's kind of also, I believe, where they see there's been sightings of like giant cats. Not, and I don't mean like domestic cat. I mean like, you know, like bobcats, not bobcats, even like cougars. Someone's like, there's like these black lions of the fens, I believe, or is it the moors?
Some bigger beasts.
Yeah, and they're like, we've never seen them before. Like, but like at some point, there's like chronicles that like the first people who settled there saw these giant black cats that were there, like lions kind of deal. But so it's kind of like it's an eerie place, especially at night, right. You know. Right. So essentially, what this is the Lantern Man. And this dates way back, you know, like people were still using lanterns. But essentially what it is like people would say never go out at night in the fens or like the Wiccan Fen area because you may run into the Lantern Man. Essentially what the Lantern Man is what he sounds like. It's this entity that's like shrouded that holds like this lantern in his hand. And he would like people would see it and be lured to it and he would kill them. And people were all terrified of it. And I personally, you know, like, well, I'll give you a little story first. So essentially, there's only one or two recorded ways of beating the Lantern Man. Because you can draw him out by whistling or walking around at night in the fence. He hates when you whistle. And he also hates when he sees someone with a lantern that's not, like, you know, like, it's like, he's like, that's my thing. I'm the Lantern Man. So... So he essentially, this guy was like walking through and he was walking with his dog and he spotted this light in the distance. So mind you, he's walking with his dog, whistling to his dog. And essentially what happens is he's already making the mistake of whistling. He whips out his lantern to get a better look. And then the lantern man attacks him and starts running out from the underbrush. And it's this guy like shambling with the lantern. He's chasing after them. And there's no reasoning with it because people think, oh, it's just like a wild man. But it's like, they're like, no, it's like, it's not human. So this guy's booking it with his dog and they're running and they're running and they're running. And they get to his friend's house. And he's like, help me. The Lantern Man's chasing after me. So his friend kicks open the door and has a lantern on like a stick. And he flings the lantern towards the Lantern Man. And the Lantern Man stops and he looks at the lantern and he starts like screaming and stomping on the lantern and smashing it. And then he shambles off back into back off into the fen, into the fens. And so like one of the only ways to beat him is to get another lantern or light source. And he'll be drawn to it. And if you give it to him, he'll break it. So, and there's another story where this guy was like, oh, I left something at my house. Or like they were at a friend's house, his wife left something. And this was a long time ago. This was not any time recent. Like 1700, 1600 on them. And he was like,
They were using lanterns.
Exactly. They're using lanterns, not just whipping out a flashlight or driving their car. and so he says, like, I'll go get whatever my wife needs. And she's like, please don't go. The Lantern Man will get you. He's like, I don't believe in that. And so essentially what happened, he's like, no, that's dumb. It's not real.
That always works out well.
Well, literally, because like he went missing that night and then they found him like way off in the center of the fens, face down in like a puddle. But it's like the guy grew up there. He wouldn't just walk into there and like his shirt was all disheveled and stuff like that. Like something people were like, he was running for the Lantern Man. So that's like the thing. But so that's what the Lantern Man is. Me reading it, it makes me kind of think back to, do you remember like when we were talking about La Llorona and how it was kind of like, you know, I'm going to reference back to Latino and like, you know, Latin, like folklore and stuff like that. They always use something to like get a point across. I feel like the Lantern Man was just something drafted up to keep people from walking around the fens at nighttime.
Yeah, don't go fucking around the bog at night. That's good advice, for sure.
Exactly. But then people would say to that, what are all these sightings of a will-o'-the-wisp or this light? And the will-o'-the-wisp is this other thing. The will-o'-the-wisp is like apparently like the returned spirit of like unbaptized babies. Now they're like stuck wandering the world.
Whoa.
But the will-o'-the-wisp is its own thing, you know? But like people would, any type of ethereal or ghost-like light you'd see in like an area like that, this, oh, it's the will-o'-the-wisp, the Lantern Man is out. What people kind of discovered what it could be is swamp gas.
Swamp gas.
It's swamp gas.
Well, because I was like, what the heck does that mean? Just like swamp farts? Well, essentially what happened is like methane gets trapped under there, and when it touches oxygen, it comes out from under the swamp, it immediately combusts into like this green or blue flame.
So you see that out there. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could like look up cool. It's actually really cool. There's like videos of it. people saying, look, it's, you know, swamp gas. And like, you'll see like this dude's like filming like some swampy area here, even in the States. And you see these like lights flashing off just randomly throughout. And it's this really cool thing. Like swamp gas is also kind of what they attribute. Have you guys heard of the Naga?
Like this,
like the serpent.
Yeah. Snake people.
Yeah. Or like a snake. I'm not sure if it's in the Philippines or like Singapore. It's around there. I'm not exactly sure. And I don't want to get it wrong, but essentially what it's like this like serpentine creature, and it breathes fireballs. And apparently there's this like lake in that area, the Philippines or Singapore or whatever, and these fireballs like literally shoot out of the sky. They have recordings of them shooting up from underwater and flying up, like, oh, the Naga's breathing fire. People also believe that that is some type of gas that comes up and ignites, and it's hot enough that it burns and leaves the water and then flies off into the sky.
That kicks ass.
Right?
That's pretty actually pretty sick.
Right? So, like, I always thought it was cool, but I picked this guy, the Lantern Man, because it's kind of cool. It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, how in, like, Silent Hill you have, like, Pyramid Head. You have, like, the one big bad that's kind of chasing you around.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like, oh, man, if I was making, like, a game that, like, dealt with, like, kind of that scary area, how would I – what's one I could use? And I was looking up stuff like that. It's like, oh, Lantern Man would be kind of cool. Just give him, like, you know, this big lantern that he just beats the shit out of you with and, like, kills you and sucks your soul into the lantern. But, that's, you know, that's my guy. I thought that it was kind of cool, you know, just this like light and like,
yeah,
like, you know, like you're going through like the foggy fens. Then you see like this light and you're like, oh man, is that like another person that can help me get out? And then you roll up and it's this.
He gets you.
Undead. Yeah. This undead ethereal guy that gets you. Kind of reminds me of this anime I watched called Pumpkin Scissors. And it's
Pumpkin Scissors.
Have you seen it?
Oh, my man.
Dude, it is like
be out of the loop.
Huh?
I said I must be out of the loop.
It's an older one, but essentially has a banger intro, but it's not like it sounds funny, but it's really about like this like special unit of like special forces soldiers during like World War II times, and they were called like the 909th, and they were called the ghost soldiers of the 909th because they would have these lanterns that they would flip. And, like, it was, like, a blue light inside of it. And whenever the blue light would go off, they would become, like, these, like, kind of mindless berserkers. And their job was to run up on tanks. And they had this handgun that was, like, a giant anti-tank handgun. And they would grab onto the tank, jump on it, and they'd stick the gun in, like, wherever the pilot was and blow holes into it. But, like, they had to jump on top of the tank to do it. So, but they would say, oh, the 909th is coming. Look through the fog. You'll see the Will-O-The-Wisp. And, like, you'd see, like, these hundreds of little, like, blue lights walking through the fog at like the tank divisions as they were trying to like navigate the swamps. That's kind of also why I was like, that's kind of like, cool. I want to talk about that.
Cool.
And we shall call it Pumpkin Scissors.
I know, right? I don't even know where that came from. Like, that's like a special army division all about like logistics, like Pumpkin Scissors. I was like, what the is this?
I thought you were trying to pull a fast one on me there for a second, but no, I'm looking it up right now.
Definitely real.
I mean, what the fuck is he talking about?
It's a good one, man. You should definitely check it out. I got to throw some anime in there, man. I'm a weeboo, bro.
Like if I'm a good old boy back in like the 1720s, and I look outside my cabin and I see the lights going off, yeah, that's a demon. You can't talk to me about methane.
They didn't know it existed back then.
You don't even know what a methane is, brother.
Yeah.
Don't go out in the swamp, love. There's a fucking lantern man.
Either you think lantern man or man. Look at those little fireballs. Gotta be the souls of unbaptized babies.
That like, was fucking Protestants.
I know, right? You raised
me. We got
me
fucking
up.
Baptized.
Yeah. No better way to force yourself to get baptized than by seeing the fucking baby spirits floating through the. Exactly. Looking like the freaking humanity from Dark Souls 1 chasing
floating
after
around, you. Around, yeah. Horrifying.
Literally. Yeah, sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Your fault. Should have baptized your kid, idiot.
Exactly, right? Now they're swamp folk or something like that.
It's pretty wild, the shit that, like, people will just come up with.
Yeah.
Do you think that was, like, a legit concern that people had about, like, that this might actually be the ghost of my unborn child? Or do you think, like, some bishop caught wind of this and he was like, oh yeah, that's the soul of your unborn child because you didn't baptize him, you piece of shit.
Oh my god,
come to church.
Well, the Catholic Church is just about as corrupt as GameStop. So, I mean, like, of course they would, like, make some shit up and be like, yes, because you didn't tithe and baptize your baby, that now they're stuck walking around in the fens. How do you feel about being a parent? Like, the Catholic Church was, like, full-on sicko mode. So I would absolutely believe that it was some clergy. Want to make a quick buck off the guilt of parents?
Get them, boys.
Let's make a cryptid, or let's make some type of supernatural entity.
I've contracted the plague.
Had you tithed more?
If only.
Man.
That's why I liked Castlevania. If only. And had only I given those, my fucking yearly wages to the church.
My three nickels I got from the farm work.
You know, because you know that they need those nickels in heaven. Like, but yeah, so that was that one. I actually want to, real quick, I have a quick other one that I just wanted to bring up. Something that you could look up a little. So this is called, there's a place, I believe it's in Canada. I don't exactly know, but it's called the Nahanni Valley. Have you ever heard of that? Nahanni? The Nahanni people. So essentially what this is, so it's called the Nahanni Valley of the Headless Men.
Oh.
Because, so during this time, in the 1908, they discovered this area called, I'm pretty sure it was in, you know, I'm going to make sure that I know what it is. Nahanni Valley. I want to make sure that I'm saying that's in the right place, because this story's pretty cool.
The Valley of Headless Men?
It's in Canada, yes, the Valley of Headless Men. So essentially what happened is during that time, it was the gold rush, like around the 1900s, 1908. So these two brothers go out there to the Nahanni Valley because, like, no one's ever been up there. So they take this long trip. They tell their friends where they're going to go. And one of the brothers decides, I'm not going to go. So I'm going to stay back. So the other brother goes with his two friends and they shoot up to the Nahanni Valley. And they find, like, their journals and they say, we found a ton of gold. You know, this is great. We're going to come back. We're going to be freaking Bitcoin millionaires. So they load up on their gold and they hop in their boat and the boat capsizes. And they're like, damn, no one's hurt, but they lost their gold. And they're like, damn, that kind of sucks. But the thing is, these guys are like wilderness men. They're not like, you know, like, oh no, we're from the city. These guys have lived in Canada. They know the rugged terrain. They're like, well, let's just build a cabin. So they just build a fucking cabin, you know? So they're like, we're going to be okay. And they were okay, because the journal continues for much longer after that. So they build a cabin, they wait it out, then they go back up to the Nahanni Valley, and they start mining for gold. And then when they find this journal, that's where the journal ends. The brother who stayed back is like, it's been almost 2 years. I haven't heard a single thing. We need to go back up there and find them. So he gets these group of guys together, and they go up into the Nahanni Valley. Long story short, they get up there, and they find a cabin that's been totally burned out and the headless bodies of two guys.
Ooh.
One of the guys is sprawled out in front of the house, head cut completely cleanly off, like a perfect slice, and he's reaching out for a rifle that was in front of him. The other body was cuddled up in bed, like, looked like it was trying to hide, and its head was just like kind of sheared off, not like clean cut. They don't know what happened. They can't find the other body, but they identify.
Jesus Christ.
That's a whole lot.
Yeah, and people are like, especially at the time, they're like, oh, it's the natives. It's the Nahanni, or like whatever tribe is there, like, like, you know, savages, whatever.
Yeah.
A couple years later, another guy goes up there. He goes missing. They find his cabin and his decapitated body up there.
Hmm.
As that team's leaving, they run into, like, Native Americans, and they're like, you need to go. We're leaving. There are these things, these white things that come out at night and they're terrorizing us. Our shamans.
No way,
And they're saying our shamans are up and they're trying to hold them off. We're leaving the valley. We're evacuating.
Trying to hold them off.
The shaman fight. Oh.
Exactly. So, like, literally, they're saying, like, our wizards are fighting these demons. Like I said, that's what my, westernized brain takes it to. And the people are like, no, we're going to stay. Because this group that ran into them was like campers. They were like, we're going on a camping trip, whatever. But here's the thing. When you're going up the Nahanni Valley, there's this area where there's not any place to really park your canoe. But if you look up on the sides of the mountain, there are these giant holes that go into the sides of the mountain.
Really?
So essentially what happens is this group's like, well, we're going to camp here. And it's consists of like a group of guys and these, I think, two girls. They wake up, the girl is missing. But there was this hunter who was on his way back And he's like, I'm only going to stay here for a day. He was telling the people, like, I mean, I'm respecting the land. I'm just here and I'm leaving. You know, I'm not here for any riches. That right. night where she went missing, he said that he heard like this, like these unhuman noises. And he got up and he Ooh. Ran and he got to like this, like where the river was. And he looked and he saw this woman completely naked and just crazed. And she climbs up the side of the mountain and goes into one of the holes. And then he hears from all around him those noises. And these things come out, like humanoid things. And they crawl up into the mountain too. And he Jesus. Described how this girl looked. And they're like, that's whatever her name was, Rachel. That's exactly her. Where is she? He's like, she crawled into the fucking mountain hole,
dude. She's to the trees now.
Yeah, right? And so since then, people would like... Several times even after that, people would go up and they would find their headless bodies in their burned out campsites. But no one ever knows what it is. And now that area is closed off. You can't even go in there.
Yeah, good
people
call.
People say, oh, it's exactly. And people are saying, oh, it's because they don't want to disrupt like the nature area. But everyone else who lives there like, no, something's in those mountains and it's killing people. And it's so terrifying that like native people who lived there were literally ejected from their homeland because they're like, there are these things that come out at night and they hunt our people. So it's kind of like Beowulf, where they ought to go in the big lodge house and anybody who's outside of it, like that's what they were saying. So that's a little fun story of the Nahanni Valley or the Valley of Headless Men.
That's fucking crazy. I've never heard of this place before. I got it pulled up right now. It says there's been UFO sightings there.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like people are seeing like dog bear hybrids.
Whoa, I don't like that.
The dog like bear.
All sorts of fucking wild shit is apparently going on in these mountains.
Kind
of
like Skinwalker Ranch, feels like.
We haven't done a piece on Skinwalker Ranch yet.
Ooh, Skinwalker Ranch is that goodies.
The noises you were kind of describing reminded me of the just mind-meltingly scary clip at the end of Hunted 411 of like the lost footage.
Oh, yeah.
Of that group that was out in the woods and they heard the thing, you know.
Those are my favorite kinds, when they have a like the smallest shred of evidence that you can't
don't just... know.
I fucking hate it, but I love it at the same time.
Those are the ones that I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, that was a good one, Ryan.
Thank you.
No, I'm glad I live in the fucking city now. Fuck
that. I know, right? Me too.
Yeah, but when you do come face to face with the Nod Deer, like, he's not even going to give you the chance.
I'm not going to have enough street cred, yeah, to survive the Nod Deer fucking nature check.
The Nod Deer nature check? What is this, like, D&D?
Yeah, he's going to be like, let me see your street cred. Tie a knot, or I'll kill you.
It's like, well, just get it over with now, because I failed 218, so let's rock and roll.
Bro,
so.
I did not. Hell yeah.
I got a knot for you, and I just tie a noose.
Gotcha.
I go out on my own terms. Nah, fuck that.
I'm never going out in the woods again. You can't get me, unless it's for winter camping.
We'll go winter camping. Don't worry.
We'll bring the shamans to fight off the freaking forest spirits that possess the woman.
I'm not going to nowhere near that valley.
We're not going to Canada's Nahanni Valley. Nope. We're not going to fly out in a helicopter.
Come on, bro.
Why not?
What about South Carolina?
Oof, no. The worst Carolina? I will not.
The worst of the Carolinas.
But yeah, if you want to go ahead and get started on your segment, Christian, I already know a little bit about it, but I got to get to the bathroom.
You want me to sort of take the wheels here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
All you.
So, my entry this week is the sort of phenomenon and creation and interaction with a entity called a tulpa. Now, do you know anything about this, Ryan?
I've never heard of a tulpa, no.
Fantastic. it's something that is bordering the lines of a supernatural, semi-scientific sort of spirituality sort of space. And it has its roots in certain Buddhist traditions. One of the texts frequently cited is a 14th century piece called The Book of the Dead.
Okay.
and it's this sort of companion. It's this entity that a person can summon using lucid dreaming, meditation, and a number of sort of brain conditioning techniques. So let's start simple. Ryan, have you ever had an imaginary friend?
No, I never have. I've actually never.
You were never about that?
No.
I wasn't about that either.
Neither. I tried, you know, and it's just too much fucking media, and I was a simp for the girl in Foster's, so I had an imaginary friend at one point.
Which one?
Frankie, bro.
Yo, you know Frankie. Come on.
Okay. I know Frankie. Okay. Come on, son.
So, it's like an imaginary friend, but through specific technique and sort of brain training, it's a friend that can talk to you, that can interact with you, that can manifest itself in some really interesting and real ways. And, like...
Demon to me.
Controversy related to it, that it's sort of engaging in unhealthy brain practices, something that could like lead to schizophrenia or dissociative identity disorder, by like
really
building this thing, this mechanism in your brain to sort of like have a tulpa, have an entity inside your mind talking to you and interacting with you.
Yeah, that does seem like it's encouraging it almost.
Schizophrenia.
Some kind of negative effects on your health, maybe. Dan, do you have any sort of relationship with these creatures or entities?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
So I thought that I would sort of walk us through the exercises and the techniques of creating a tulpa, and that would sort of give us a better understanding of what they're like and what someone's expectations were if they were to try and manifest one for you.
Okay.
Oh, there's a whole, like, guide?
There are tons of guides. It's got a somewhat active, like, online community.
Now, if you'll recall my episode that I did on the brief tour of X, my big finale piece for that was the succubus summoning thread.
Oh, yeah.
I remember in that thread they said, yeah, like, you know, tulpas are not the same as a succubus, but if you're in a relationship with your tulpa, you're more than welcome to post here as well.
From what I've seen, I did a little forum digging and a little bit of like espionage. There's a bit of a divide amongst people in the community on whether or not, one, that they're real, and two, whether or not it's appropriate to have sexual relationships with them. You know, some people frown on that.
Oh,
no. Maybe like bad news to me.
Yeah. So before we get into the step-by-step guide, I'm going to tell you the story about Alexandra David Neal, who was studying on this phenomenon and decided that there was a need for their own tulpa.
So, I see.
So they manifested this goofy, like, you know, gregarious, jolly old monk type being who spoke with Alexandra, interacted, and lived in Alexandra's brain, right?
Yeah.
And she describes it changing. As it gained sentience, it became more aggressive, it became more harmful, and eventually, like, tried to hurt her and, like, take over her mind almost.
Really?
And she had to expel it from her brain. I didn't get the steps on how to, like, exercise it from you.
So you're going to give us the steps how to bring it in, but not how to get rid of it?
Well, I can talk to, like, the methods to calm it down, but I don't know specifically on, like, pull the plug immediately type shit. It takes steps.
Well, that's strange. I didn't know that. I thought, so, granted, my knowledge on tulpas was a little limited.
Sure.
But from what I interpreted, they were evil, and that it was something that manifested from your fear. Like, if every day you were like, don't think about the not deer, don't think about the not deer, don't think about the not deer, you would make it real for yourself. But I didn't know that it was like, you know, fucking Tony Hawk Pro Skater, create a character in your head and turns evil.
See, it's the goal, and I think practitioners of it, they call themselves tulpamancers, which is kind of sick.
Sure.
Is the goal is to make a semi-independent entity from your own concentrated, you know, thought.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of different techniques on whether or not you're supposed to, like, create it in the image that you want, like a Dark Souls character creator, or if you're supposed to just sort of encourage its own growth and that it manifests itself in whatever way that may be. It can get loose, it can get strict, but it does, like you said, sort of feed off of the energy that you give it. And if you are approaching it in a negative headspace, or, you know, are afraid of it, it can become this, like, specter that haunts your mind, almost.
Jesus.
And people who have fully operating tulpas, they engage in a number of activities such as, like, full-on conversations. They interact with them in the real world. Some people have done a little bit of, like, handing off different parts of their bodies, like giving control over to an arm or control over to, like, certain, like, possession type things.
That sounds like a really, really bad idea.
Yeah, it's a little whack. And before we go further on, it is worth mentioning that it has kind of been co-opted by this urban, young, predominantly white internet sort of groups. Yeah.
Predominantly white.
Yeah, like young white teens. And
did you find the statistics demographic?
Absolutely, I did. And the furries as well, naturally.
You know, I'm looking at Tulpamancy on the image tab. And
yeah.
Yeah, this was co-opted by furries.
The furries took it as for their own use. So let's fucking get into it. Y'all want to make one with me tonight?
I'll watch you make one.
I mean, this isn't something that happens, you know, in a day. Some people report it taking months of, you know, concentrated work.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you do is you begin to form these thoughts on what kind of tulpa you're looking for. So you wrap yourself in relaxed meditation, and you just begin to think of, like, its personality. Like, what is it going to be like? What is your relationship going to be? You're not, like, forming its body. You're not creating an image in your head.
This sounds like it's gonna get real. Like, this sounds like it could go real bad.
What are your fears, Dan?
People are just mixed, like, what up? What do you think they're doing?
I mean, I will say 100% there were some pretty cringe posts on some forums where he's like, oh, I've got like 30 tulpas now, and I pull them up whenever I want them, like a Rolodex of characters, and we all just like live inside my head. And he's like, yeah, I'm 17. Shut up. What of it?
And that sounds really bad. Like,
it seems
just
like,
sound like bad social practices.
The reported benefits are like you know, you spend a lot of time in meditation, you spend a lot of time like deep in thought. It can help social skills to sort of like, quote unquote, talk to somebody else, to like vent your feelings in a productive mental manner. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But what? let's just get back on track. Someone out there is with a pen and paper and they're like, damn it, I need step two. So once you've given that enough time, you've meditated on its character, you've meditated on its personality a bit, you can begin to maybe visualize what its form will take.
Uh-huh.
And that's not to say, like, oh, I want her to have a big ass. Like, you, like, is it going to be humanoid? Is it going to be a creature? Is it going to be, you know, something else?
So you can't just sit there and be like, oh, I want it to have a dump truck. You have to sit there and be like, I want it to be a human with a dump truck.
Dang, you got a dolphin with a dump truck.
You are.
I want it to be a Lapras with a dump truck.
You're supposed to not base it off of something you know. You're not supposed to make a celebrity. You're not supposed to take somebody that you know in real life and turn them into like a mind demon.
Yeah.
But like, you begin with the fuzzy edges, like the outlines of a form. And uh-huh. Over time, in your lucid dreaming, in your meditation, some of these features will begin to form. And your brain, thinking about it over and over, will have these like well-trotted paths in their neurons, you know, like thoughts. And uh-huh. It'll start to save some of these things. It'll start to remember some of these traits that you attribute to it. And then like a picture should slowly begin to form over weeks of the tulpa.
Jesus.
Some
this
people...
just sounds like
it's like Build-A-Bear but for demons.
I don't know why, but when Ryan's on, I get into like the astromancy and the brain juice. You've spent, you know, enough time building your spirit entity. Some people have claimed that giving it a Wonderland is a very useful tool. Now that is a specific space in your mind. Like you have a very safe zone. Maybe it's like a field of flowers or like near a lake somewhere. And that's where you continually interact with this entity. And after you've spent enough time and you have a easily recallable image, you have something that you know and something that you remember, and you start to imbue these traits and this personality begins to form.
Yeah.
The next step that people call is like the walk. Like, can you picture it moving, however that may be for this creature?
Uh-huh.
Like you imbue motion in it, and it, over time, it should become effortless. So you can picture this thing in very good detail in your mind's eye walking.
Mm-hmm.
And for young Christian in high school, it's just as far as he got. He could not get the walk cycle down, so he gave up.
You were trying to make a tulpa in high school?
Yes.
Did I miss that part when I went
yes,
to the bathroom?
Yes, I was. Oh, this is the reveal. This is the twist.
What was it gonna be?
I thought it was sick. I can't. If I tell you, it might listen. It might hear it.
It's dead.
He's still there. No,
it was. I'll beat the shit out of your tulpa.
It was just a dude. I don't know. I wanted to try it. It was neat.
Just a dude. Did you name him?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I'm not gonna tell you that. That's personal.
Oh,
that's personal. Maybe if I'm feeling braver the farther we get along, but you're making me a little self-conscious.
Dude,
his name was Kak Zoffman.
it's no big deal. I was curious. I was a kid, okay?
I should make a tulpa, and Ryan, you make a tulpa, and then we'll like battle our tulpas like Pokemon.
Oh, like Shaman King?
Well,
yeah,
it's crazy that you like after hearing how it's made, it almost seems like you're essentially pulling parts of yourself and using it to make this thing.
Well, there are people that subscribe to this idea of parallel processing. And that is, no, your mind can be working on things, and that the entity that you've built can also be thinking and operating at the same time. And that's the goal of many, or some, you know, topomancers. You cordon off some of your RAM.
I was just going to say, it sounds like your computer.
Like you got a virus in there. So this is the part where you start to grant it a little autonomy.
You
start to consider its wants and needs. How will it affect the wonderland that you gave it and allow it to operate in? How will it choose to interact with you? Like, it's not a entity that you can just summon and chat with whenever you feel like it. Like, you have to begin to imbue this sort of personhood or sentience to it.
Yeah.
And that is done in our next step. This is the narration step. You want to, you know, talk to it. You want to interact with it. You want to give it stimulus from the outside world and try and sort of garner some kind of response out of it. And this is a step that I believe, and having read a lot of people who like post journals and logs of their journey on the Tulpa creation process, find the pursuit of a response, of an independent reaction from them, is very long and hard process and can be very frustrating for some people. Because you're told that if you create, you know, just this dummy that parrots everything you say, that's the explicit word that they use, is parroting, it's not going to gain any sentience. You're going to teach it to just mimic what you say, and you're going to have this weird blob thing that doesn't have its own personhood.
Yeah.
Needless to say, Monty never talked to me.
Monty
never got back to me, okay? I tried for a long time. Like, you start small. Like, can I get an audio hallucination? Can I get some kind of response back from my brain? And I didn't get that far. I didn't get that far. Eventually,
why'd you give up? Were you just like, "Yeah, fuck this"?
I mean, I was really bad at it. I wasn't really ever good at the visualization. I never had a form, really. It was always just like a speck of light. So this is a weird question to ask, but how do y'all's mind's eyes work? How do you visualize things in your head?
What am I visualizing?
Like, if I say picture a banana in your brain right now, what do you see?
I see like a white background and a banana.
Ryan, do you have a projector screen with a white background?
I kind of just see like a banana in empty space.
Is like the space
black, empty space?
Yeah, black. Is it? Do you picture in color? It's a weird question.
Yes.
What is this? The Giver?
That's a good fucking book.
Yes. I'm thinking right. Color.
What about location? Where is your mind's eye?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd say mine's in my heart.
Okay. That's interesting.
Like, I'd say like a mix of my heart and like my
Like, is it
because I'm a very emotional person, so I link my heart to like my memory vault. So like when I'm pulling from a memory, it comes from my heart and it kind of projects through my eyes or my mind eye in my head.
Is that to say it is below you? Is it below your head when you picture images?
What do you mean?
Like, where does your mind's eye lie? Like, for Dan, where is this projector?
When I think in my head, the neurons are activating. I guess behind my eyes, like in my head, by the actual brain area.
So like behind your eyes. Like, for me, that seems like a pretty stock standard response that people would say, "Oh, it's back there where the brain is."
Yeah.
Like,
I've never been put on the spot to answer that question, though.
Exactly. Like, this is the mindscape that you have to deal with to summon your tulpa. Mine, for example, is above my head. Like, that's where the dream space is. Like, if you take the crown of your head and go, like, a couple inches above there, like, that's in my brain where the images form.
So do you have to do, like, a physical trigger for that and look up if you're trying to, like...
Like, when I'm thinking?
Yeah, does it help, I guess, to, like, look up?
Well, for example, when I was meditating and trying to work on Monty, I would look in a very specific spot, like a very specific angle with my eyes closed, and that would be, like, where the thought is and where those dreams and images lie.
Yeah.
And if I would see the speck of light in that angle in that spot, that would be my interpretation of a connection being made with the tulpa. This is all weird to think about. I haven't done like thought about Monty in like 10 years. I'm like recalling these things.
You're resuscitating him.
I know.
So you couldn't like give him a form. You were just like Monty. He's cool.
I couldn't give him a shape. Like I couldn't form that into something. And then if you get in the forums and you start asking for advice, they're going to be like, oh, you're trying too hard. You got to let the tulpa do it. You got to allow like some sort of give and take between this relationship okay. that you're crafting.
It well, kind of reminds me of like acting.
A little bit, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, that relaxed readiness state where like you're not sitting there thinking, okay, here are my given circumstances. Here's this. It's like you just kind of create your character or like at least how I act. It's like, every character is centered around a part of me that's real, and I wrap the wrappings of the characters around me, so it's how would I interact if I was mm-hmm. in the situation with those circumstances. And you just kind of like have to exist naturally in that mindscape you make because, you know, we have to be aware that we're on stage, that we're doing a show, but also live in that world that we're creating to honestly portray what we're doing.
You have to put a little of yourself, but it's some sort of not a non-manual response. It's something that yeah. you sort of let flow. And that's pretty similar to what they're asking for here. So if you are more successful than me and you've visualized your tulpa, you've given it a form, you've worked on the walking, you've worked on the wonderland that they live in. Mine was a very nice... I'm embarrassed. It was a very nice... stone bridge overlooking a lake. And I would okay. sit on the edge of the bridge with my feet over the water and I would talk to Monty there. And never get a response. Talk back. Never get a response. Not once. Kind of hurt my feelings. And then I, you know, started kissing women and I was like, oh, it's time to go. Sorry, Monty.
See ya.
Bitch.
So that was your mistake. You should have focused all your energy into making Monty a
kiss
girl.
Me.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
But Monty's name was already Monty.
You fucked up. You could have been a wizard.
You could have been Montana, Hannah Montana.
Hey, girl.
Montette.
So after you've gotten to this part, it's the hardest part. The hurdle to climb is the sentience check. Like if you are talking to this tulpa and it is responding to you,
yeah,
you have to sort of find a way to confirm that it isn't just you responding to yourself in your head. It has to like catch you by surprise or be something that you did not conjure up yourself in the response. Yeah. And there's a number of like techniques that people suggest sort of doing it, but a lot of it seems to be very conversational, like to try and have a short conversation with this entity.
Huh.
And once that's happened, once you've had a lot of time to sort of work with your tulpa, you've able to communicate with it in a way that feels like you are talking to a separate entity, you are encouraged to try and project that into reality. So it's not just in your headspace.
Yeah.
And such as, you know, picturing this tulpa in real life, having it walk with you, having it talk with you, having physical sensations aroused, not aroused is the wrong word, but like incited from a little Freudian slip there. From the
thinking about Monty got you all hot and bothered, huh?
Good Lord.
Fuck. From the tulpa's will. Like, if people say that they can almost feel the touch of the tulpa, or like they receive some sort of response back. And then you get to the advanced techniques.
What are the advanced techniques?
Some people claim that they have, through, in a way that really does sound like a relaxed readiness, like acting technique, they claim that their tulpa is allowed some kind of physical control over their body. They can say give them control of their arm, something like that, and they'll allow this stimulus to control it that's not their own, accredited to their tulpa.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, it's a companion. It's a companion supposedly for life. Like, if you continue to interact with it and you continue to give it your energy, it will continue to be an entity that lives in your mind. But if you don't, if you forget it, if you neglect it, it'll fade away and it'll lose its potency and it'll lose its energy. Which is,
will it become like vengeful?
No.
Like, nah, bitch. You're not rid of me?
There's, well, that's kind of, oh, yeah, sorry, go for it. Go for it.
I was going to say, that's kind of, I guess, what my immediate fear with that is that it's like you hear these stories of these, like, entities or supernatural creatures where, like, you make, like, you contact them and they get used to you. And while you think you're the one that's kind of in charge, they're feeding off of your, whatever, anima, life force, soul. So when you start to pull away, you know, because you even said, this girl said that she had one and it got violent, you know. So what is the criteria for your tulpa going rogue? Also, how are you, especially if, like, people are not, you know, because you said this came from, like, a Buddhist kind of text, like these Buddhist monks and stuff, they've practiced this and they've honed their skills for this. What is not to say that, you know, you open yourself up to it and you accidentally contact something else and bring that in? Nope. Because I had a situation where, when I was growing up, my family, very short-lived, and I'll tell you why, got involved with this church, and then they found out that they were doing this kind of like mysticism thing instead of like praying, and like some dude just kind of went crazy, and they attributed it to, like, he opened himself up and astral projected without meaning to, and he got possessed by, like,
my God,
a malignant spirit.
They got him.
Yeah, because, like, because of that, because he just, like, you know, he was doing all the meditating and he was contacting, trying to, he thought he was speaking to angels, and finally something took over his body because he was not trained enough to do it. Like, there's a lot of, like, gray kind of spooky area that creating a tulpa kind of
there's it's a very frequently addressed problem, and a lot of these, like, introductionary texts or these, like, forum posts that you're going to find of people giving you guides are going to address, like, oh, what if it takes over my mind, or what if I make a rogue entity in my soul or something. And predominantly the response I see is that this is a sort of, and I don't want to, like, you can shit on them a little bit, but, like, it's a trick that you play on yourself. It's all a creation of your own mind. Like, you're not reaching out into anything new. You're building this sort of call and response within your brain that you control. So if you give it, you know, negative energy, if you give it these fears and sort of like a bad trip, sort of allow these negative thoughts and feelings to imbue it, it could, you know, be a bad time.
Sentience, air quote, kind of deal.
So
like, what about people with mental illness who have no control over their emotions?
Maybe don't be building a tulpa is my advice.
What if I can hash out this whole process in an hour?
What did you, have you been making it this time?
No, like, I'm just curious, like, what...
I can ask sound it out.
Like, what if... Like, what does the amount of time have to do with it? If all I have to do is give it a place to fucking sleep, shit, and then fucking...
A place to sleep and shit. I don't think you should.
Know what I want it to look like. Or, my bad. Know what I want its personality to be. Know what I want it to look like. Can picture it walking. And then, like, I just have to go, hey, like, well, why does it take so much time? So, if I could do, like, I'll make a tulpa here in, like, 5 minutes.
So here's the thing. It is imbued with a lot of, like, meditative, spirituality, sort of energy vibe type shit. But from what I can gather, there's, like, a psychological process you're trying to trick your brain into. That, like, okay. If you... Our brain processes thoughts through neuron paths, right?
Yeah.
Like, to get deep into, like, what thought is and what, like, brain energy is like. You are trying to build a process to develop an otherness to certain paths in your brain.
Uh-huh.
That, like breathing, like your heart, like your endocrine system, these are things that now happen completely without your input. And you're trying to build this space in your brain through meditation and repeated impulses that, like, your brain will receive a stimulus and say that's processed as the speech of the tulpa.
Uh-huh.
But because you've walked that path in your brain, because you've imbued that sort of otherness to those stimuli, it will trick your brain and come across as being not voluntary.
Okay.
So it's like you're making an like an automatic, kind of how we breathe. You don't think about it. It just happens. So you're training your brain to automatically respond. So you're giving more identity to that voice in your head that we already have.
Absolutely. It's like trying to build up that autonomous thought and create this sort of cage around it so that it becomes this entity. That's pretty much exactly what it is. And that repeated meditation, that repeated, like, literal effort of thinking over and over is what builds that process up and allows it to become semi-autonomous.
Gotcha. Mm. Okay.
Like, you, for example, this is a ridiculous example, but you know how, like, there's certain groups of martial fighters who, through repeated impulses, lose their pain reception.
Yeah.
Like, if you get hit enough times, your brain is going to see that stimulus as something different, and it's going to be processed differently. If you are, you know, kicked in the nuts enough times, your brain's going to stop processing that as pain.
Yeah.
Is the belief. And it's a similar situation as that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So it's like training your brain to almost be numb to the kind of intellectual / like grounded in reality response.
Mm-hmm.
And getting it so used to over, like you're saying, over that time of constantly kind of like meditating that, hey, this is other. This isn't just my body. This isn't just my voice in my head. This is its own person. You constantly do that till you trick your brain. And those things that were natural that, like, you kind of acknowledged as, oh, this is just my own voice in my head. You've numbed your brain to that. So now it's just, yeah, this is the voice of my talpa.
Like, your brain literally receives it differently. Like, it yeah, finds it and says, oh, that's not his internal monologue. That is Monty. But Monty never talked to me, so.
Talk to me.
Fuck. And you see people online now in tulpa forums, and they will post as themselves, and then they will, you know, hit enter 6 times, and then they will type as their tulpa, and they'll write what they say, or allow possession of their hand to allow them to type, and you have these full, like, double conversations going on. There are communities where, like, tulpas are friends with each other, irrespective of their human.
That's and very strange.
It's a big, like, mental exercise that you subject yourself to. And it's kind of scary. You know, some people, I think there's a little bit of, like, satanic panic, like, demon shit where they're like, don't let the kids think too much about the devil or it's gonna get them, related to it.
Like Dungeons and Dragons when that first came out. No, that's like a whole thing my dad was saying. It's like when Dungeons and Dragons first came out, the Christians were like, they're opening portals in their body. The kid's gonna split open like a fucking egg and the demon's gonna pop out of him. It's like, okay, sorry, I'm just imagining living in like Lord of the Rings, but okay, sure, demons.
And
but I get that.
That's that, you know, that's a tulpa for you. There's a number of, you know, communities that will sort of walk you, talk you through the process. They seem to be, you know, fairly friendly, fairly receptive to each other, but it is frowned upon, and I'm glad you brought it up at the beginning, to fuck your tulpa. You don't let it stimulate your dick.
Full circle.
It's wrong.
Don't have sex with your mind.
don't allow your brain to jerk you off and make it feel like it's someone else. That's immoral.
You How is that immoral? It's my hand. I'll do whatever the fuck I want with my tulpa.
It's supposed to have some sort of autonomy and sentience.
It does. So what are you going to do like when like, you're just okay, sleeping?
How does it have autonomy and sentience when I'm literally sitting there programming it a personality?
If you see it That's as programming, it's going to become like a golem. It's going to become a robot.
Dang,
there's you have to like find the balance between like I am building this and it is coming to life. Like you have to live in that sort of weird in between. And it was that
that's
balance.
What that meditation does, right? Like that's mm-hmm. the meditation part's fooling your brain to thinking I'm not building this. It's already been here and I'm contacting it.
You need to lie to yourself.
Yeah.
And I couldn't
see
it.
Well, so I think another thing that's kind of like bad with that is it kind of almost people who are really into that can shift blame to it. I kind of see it a lot when I deal with people who are like Christian or like super really
for sure
really religious. It's like, oh, that was the devil or by God's will, and like everything is centered around everyone but themselves. So someone could like say, oh, I didn't do that, I wasn't doing those things, my tulpa was in control. And
or like
I,
like a fake like astrology.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's like, oh, that, you know, sorry I burned your house down. Capricorn, am I right?
Such a
like,
fucking cancer.
That
bro.
Was my tulpa. Sorry guys. My tulpa's just going crazy.
Absolutely.
My yeah. tulpa is a Capricorn, so.
Yeah, right. And me, I'm just a meat suit. but like anything for me, like I'm always like I kind of get like red flags whenever I see any type of like religion or faith or thing like that where like you could put blame on it and not hold yourself accountable. And get lost in it and be like, anytime something bad happens, you weren't even thinking about it. It's like, oh, that has to be my tulpa going wrong, rogue, or like, oh, like, you know, that
going
was the
raw?
Devil. Yeah, going raw, man. As my tulpa man, just raw dog in my brain, you know?
Watch this shit. This episode's going to get posted, and then a bunch of dudes with regular font and then italic font are going to be in the comments. Talking shit.
My tulpa could beat the shit out of anybody's tulpa. I'll put money on that.
Listen, man, I'm beyond tulpa, man. I want to stand. Oh, wait, are they stands? Are tulpas stands?
I don't think they're stands. I
That's
mean,
no fun.
I don't think they can, you know, time stop.
Stop time?
Yeah.
But watch, we're going to get the guy in the YouTube comments who can do it. He's like, oh, yeah?
Zawado,
my tulpa's coming for you. Zawado.
Fuck.
Oh, go ahead. I will put my tulpa, I'll put money on it. My tulpa will beat any tulpa.
And well, that's because I feel like your tulpa, like, it's gonna be, like, so haphazardly made, it's just like a fucking robot that just, like, runs forward and destroys things.
It's like, I didn't ask to be born, I just need to kill, like, demons.
I'm not out here making a companion, okay? My tulpa
is making a weapon.
Kill. My tulpa is a weapon.
He's
okay?
making, like, a stand, a demon to fight.
Dan went into this, they're like, you're doing it wrong, making a demon. Dan's like, I know.
I know. It's going to have blades for arms and shoot laser beams.
Then my tulpa is going to be Baraka.
Oh my God.
Okay.
But me, as a 13, 14-year-old child, saw this as like a pretty interesting like exercise. It was pretty fun to do. Like to do these meditative like things and to hope at one point to have this tangible effect from it.
Yeah.
But you know what? You have that tangible effect with us now. Friendship.
Date bayo.
So, Ryan, what would you name your tulpa?
Ryan.
That's fucked.
Dang.
And I'd have sex with him. I was kidding. Oh, no. I don't know what I'd name my tulpa. I mean, like, I'm so bad with naming things. Like, I have the same name in all of my MMOs because I'm so bad at thinking of names.
I probably would name mine something badass, like Goronok. Goronok the Destroyer.
That reflects your personality, though. Like, it's supposed to be a being of your mind, bro. And Monty came fairly spontaneously. That felt like the only, like, natural part of it.
Kind of cool, though, that kind of just came out. You're just like, Monty's the name. Like that's good. Something... Yeah. Like, there is a Monty somewhere in you.
Okay, do you want to hear something embarrassing? I was holding it out.
Go ahead.
I was keeping it close to my chest, but I'm going to say it now, okay?
Yeah, let it all out.
So the reason I believe that Monty wasn't working was because I was reading the guides, and it was like, you're not supposed to really base it off of something that you know. You're not really supposed to be like, I'm going to create this action figure to play with. Monty, to me, And the feedback I received seemed to tell me that he wanted to be in the form of a Dratini. Don't you laugh at me, bro. Don't you laugh at me.
I see now.
he was a fucking Dratini, bro. And I had a hard time visualizing the walk with that. Like, I couldn't get the slither right. It looked like shit. And it didn't work out.
I told you, it's a Pokemon battle.
I didn't want to feed this.
These things were designed to Pokemon.
Monty wouldn't fight. Monty was a gentle soul.
No way, dude.
And over here making us like a fucking ethereal god of destruction.
He's like the second half.
Goronok the Destroyer will butcher any fucking tulpa out there, and I'll put money on that.
The second phase in the Irithyll fight, where the dude summons his demon ghost out.
Yeah, dude. My fucking... Dude, Goronok's gonna appear like Susanoo, bro. I'm gonna go fucking crazy.
Pontiff Dan.
That's it. Pontiff Sullivan's demon form, yeah.
It's Dan Talpa.
Yeah, just do fucking wait till I roll up with the Tulpa.
And this... Was it any sort of, like... I didn't want it to either be a diss or a full support of Tulpamancy. I just wanted to sort of bring the conversation to this subject.
Dan and I took it there.
Oh, it's fine. Y'all can make your little weird mental sex toys. I'm not gonna judge you too much.
I never said.
I can't do that.
I'm gonna make something of clay and imbue it.
You're over there making a Dratini. So I don't know what position you're in.
You have talked to Monty that way,
bro. I can and can't do with my tulpa.
Listen. So I'm gonna recycle Monty's guts, and we're gonna have a new friend, and they're gonna be on the podcast one day.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man.
We're actually gonna live stream the tulpa battles.
Kex Zoffman.
So place your bets now. You got Monty the Dratini or Goronok the Destroyer?
Ebriatus, daughter of the cosmos.
that's all I got, bro.
It has to be an OC, okay?
Fine. Ebriatus, son of the cosmos.
I'm laying my soul out here on this microphone for y'all. Giving y'all the dirty secrets.
Well, okay, so I'll give you a dirty secret of mine. Well, that's not a dirty secret, but like something that I would do, kind of like not similar, but I would try to make like a separate persona of myself to deal with things. So like, yeah. I remember like I had a mirror mount on the back of my door when I was a kid in my room, and like I dealt with a lot of anger growing up, and I went and I drew like a really like scary face. Like when I looked at like the mirror, half of it was my face and the other half was like this like edgy demon creature. I was like, well, I gotta go to school today and present. I'm letting you take over today because I'm too scared to do it. It wasn't to, like, deal with the bullies. It was to get up and public speak. So I had an alter ego that was really good at public speaking.
I guess I'm just a normal Chad that didn't have to do anything wacky to cope, you know?
Yeah, you just had to... I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna roast you like that.
You, I thought your altar was Slenderman, bro.
Yeah, dude. that is my tulpa. My tulpa escaped. It actually was Slenderman.
It became real.
It came out of your head like Zeus and like Athena.
Exactly.
And there's a couple of good creepypastas on tulpas, by the way, if you're ever interested.
They're pretty good nightmare fuel.
Yeah, like they take over a little bit.
Oh, man. No, that's an interesting topic for sure. I mean, you know, it's modern mysticism, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Is it modern? You said it came from that Buddhist.
It has
I mean, roots. By modern, I mean it's blowing up today.
Oh, gotcha. For sure. Yeah, it's like the new fad.
Yeah, I've been having like a whole Tulpa YouTube series play in the background. I have the captions on. I'm watching this. And
oh, what do you see?
This person's just going off about their Tulpa.
Is he hitting the money longer dance? Like popping, locking?
Yeah, dude.
And he's like, that's my boy. Watch him go.
Yeah, dude. I got Goronok out here hitting the Fortnite dance every time he wins. Every time he hits a dub,
He's emoting on
him. I eagerly await your progress updates.
Can there be Tulpa transfer? Like
Tulpa transfer. I don't know if that would work.
Like, okay, the Tulpas can interact, but can I transfer something from my Tulpa to another? Or could I set up like Tulpa microtransactions?
There could be multiple. Many people talk about having two, three, or more.
No, but I mean, like, can I charge people? Could I charge, like, wackos on Reddit, like, money under the guise that I'm selling their Tulpa, like, an emote?
Talking about, like, NFTs?
Absolutely,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, like an NFT.
Like, you could, like, tell
them. TFT. We're on to something, boys. We're going to make some money.
I built this Wonderland in my head, bro, and it's like a battle arena. So if you send your Tulpa to me through the internet, he'll train in my brain like the hyperbolic time chamber, and I'll send him back with combat skills.
Yeah. Watch it. He's going to send the poor ass going to send his Tulpa to Dan. Dan's going to send his Tulpa back in pieces, bro. Because Dan's Tulpa mutilated.
It actually digivolved.
You signed the Tulpa waiver, bro. I'm not responsible. Tulpa!
Dan's making Skull Greymon.
I had my Tulpa for 8 years.
And you killed him.
Now you don't have him anymore.
Yeah, is that why I look like Rainbow Dash? Better luck next time, buddy.
There are a lot of MLP ones, too.
I saw. Yep. I saw on the images tab. Yep. Well, I mean, you got anything else? You got anything left to say on Tulpas, Christian?
Yeah, if you want to talk to me about your Tulpa's progress, or you want to work on developing it with me, but not if you want to laugh at me in my DMs. Where can they get a hold of us?
You can get a hold of us at supermadtower@gmail.com. You can direct message us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @madtowerradio. If you know me in real life, you can get a hold of me. If you know Christian in real life, Tulpa battle him. His Tulpa will lose 100% of the time. It's free. It's a free win. Ryan, where can the people find you if they want to check out more of your stuff?
Damn. No, all gloves off for girl Christian, huh? You can find us over, you can find Weeboo. You can find me over at the Weeboo's podcast. We are on, that's spelled W-E-E-B, capital U, lowercase W, capital U, lowercase S. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, and we're also on Amazon and Google Podcast as well. We do have a Twitter as well as an Instagram as well. So yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on, Ryan. Thank you all so much for joining us. You know, be safe out there. Watch out for Tulpas. Watch out for not deer. Watch out for the Lantern Man and the Will-O-The-Wisp. You know, be safe. Keep your eyes wide open. This is Mad Tower Radio and your transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.